Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and I'm your host for the Keys of the Kingdom in this Sabbath hour, this hour on the Sabbath. And we're going to talk about a number of things that we already talked about this morning on other shows. And we're going to try to kind of sum it all up, and then we're going to get to, internationally, they're called the ICS. Incident Command Systems, which is used by FEMA and in emergency operating systems all over the world. It's kind of like the Robert's Rules of Order, and but it's for emergency response situations. And of course, they've had these ideas around for thousands and thousands of years. You find them cropping up in ancient writings. I'm very familiar with a lot of ancient writings, and you can go back to Lemuria and Moore and Ur and Samaria and all these. They have writings and tablets that are being unearthed, and I've always been fascinated with archaeology, and so I try to stay up on a lot of the things that are going on. It's just amazing some of the discoveries that they're making, which is like the stones crying out and telling us what the solution is. And I quoted Ben Shapiro this morning. I sent out some messages on Facebook and on our own network, which everybody should be a part of our own network, which is based on these ancient systems of government that were operating by voluntary interaction of the people, for the people, and by the people to keep from going under the authority of totalitarian dictators and rulers. And this has been a constant battle throughout history. But the battle is really won on an individual basis, because individuals have to come together with the same value of freedom for their neighbor as they have or would want for themselves. And that's what Ben Shapiro was talking about. I don't have a transcript of the entire thing that he was saying, but on our websites we have links to a short video as well that is clipped out of a longer video in his presentation. Very smart guy, very intelligent fellow. Was just a lawyer, and I think he was a lawyer and who knew a guy, a comedian named Crowder, and Crowder asked him to be his lawyer and help him with his next contract. And Crowder looked to him because he trusted him. And then the guy began to know other people in show business, and eventually he got to make some comments, and he is quite the speaker. Excellent mind. Can remember facts and statistics. He reads up on things. He saves those statistics. He sees arguments from one end to the other, and so he can get out there and really butt heads with people. But he said in this one question that came up from the audience, he was having question after question coming up. He's very good at that. And he says that talking about libertarians and conservatives uniting, he says they're going to need to realize you need social networks outside of government helping each other with common values. And of course, that's what he sees Judaism as. And of course, that's what Judaism was at one time. The Pharisees had twisted it where they weren't outside of government. They were inside of government. And they actually depended upon government. You'd sign up for these social networks, social welfare networks, with the government, not outside of government, but with the government, and the government would collect taxes and provide you with welfare. This is how you went under the city of Cain. This is how you went under the city of Nimrod. This is how Ur became this totalitarian dictatorship. This is what Haran moved away from, the father, Terah, of Abraham, left Ur to get away from that because his own son was oppressed even to death. And so he went away from that. His heir would have been Abraham, and he started a city-state, wealthy, wealthy beyond measure at that time. But Abraham said, no, it wasn't that I was in Ur and now I'm in Haran. It's that I'm in this type of system that is based on centralized authority, taking away from my neighbor to provide benefits for me or for anybody in our society. It has to be by free will offerings. So he set up a system with altars, living altars, not stone altars. Stones, a gathering of stones with a gathering of men, a gathering of friends specifically. So these stones were the society looked out amongst themselves, found men they trusted, men who were men of charity, men of intelligent comprehension, of compassion, and they put them over the business of charity in their society and supported them by free will offerings, which we, when reading the Hebrew, interpret into stone altars where you kill sheep and set them on fire. Pharisees interpreted them that way. The Essenes said, no, that's a fiction and a fraud. That's not what it meant. And the Essenes, along with many other people, because all Essenes were not the same. They didn't even call themselves Essenes. But they created systems of charity. They created economies that were not closed by force, but by practicality, where they would buy from their own and trade with their own and look to their own. Other people had the same common values that Ben Shapiro is talking about, that were willing to contribute to aid one another, to strengthen one another, to help one another. And this made their community stronger and stronger and stronger. And, you know, he goes on to talk about the fact that libertarians who think, oh, God is bad and everything. I just had somebody write me on Facebook. And I had posted Shapiro's article. And he says that the libertarians have to realize that you need these virtuous values. These common values need to be virtuous. And those have come from religion. And so I posted that, yeah, but the religion can't be just any old religion. It has to be pure religion. And somebody read that and they said, true religion is one's conscience or the creator within. And the Bible is packed full about that, isn't it? And he puts it at like a question. No, that's not what religion is. Now, the Bible is chock full of things that should be a matter of conscience, but that's not what religion is. Religion is from the word threskia. It's not from religiare. It's from the word threskia. And the word threskia, I mean, what we call religion today is from religiare in the Roman and the Latin, but threskia is the word that you find in the Greek, and we translate it into religion. And but it's actually threskia. Threskia is not what you think. It may have something to do with your conscience, but it's really about what you do. Threskia is what you do. And pure religion is what you do for the needy of your society, unspotted by the world. The world is also something that you end up doing or creating. The world, that word, in the James, King James Bible, in James 1:27, where he talks about pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, God the Father, is what they're talking about, is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows, the needy of your society, in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. The word world there is constitutional order or system of government. Keep you separate from the world. That's the same word he uses over there when he talks about being in the world but not of the world. In other words, you're supposed to take care of the needy without men who exercise authority. Something else he says over and over again. Something that Moses said, Abraham said. You should set up these living altars of men you trust and put them over this business of taking care of the needy of your society and support them in their need to do so. And that's what the church used to do. And that was the practice of religion. It stopped being pure when you started looking to men who exercise authority to supplement what your church is doing. Socialism is the religion you get when you have no pure religion. And that's what, because you think religion is what you think about God. And if you look it up in the dictionary today, that's the way they'll define it. But 200 years ago, they defined religion as the pious performance of a duty to God and your fellow man. Again, it was what you did. They've changed it to what you think. So it becomes a matter of conscience. Now, obviously, what you do is a matter of conscience. And that's reasonable. But if you just think about God, you think about what's right, but you don't do what's right, you don't take care of the needy of your society, you're not practicing pure religion. And most Christians today are not practicing pure religion because all of their religion is spotted by the world. They'll help out a widow. They'll help out the needy of their society. But they often help it out by getting them signed up for government benefits from those men who exercise authority. That's not unspotted. That is very spotted religion. It is not pure religion by any means whatsoever. And it is defiled religion and is what most Christians are doing. They're going to the governments of the world. The only way you can practice pure religion as a people is to network together. And I say network because you're not joining a corporation. You're not joining a government. You're not subjecting yourself. You're not even really becoming a member. You're participating in a free assembly. You gather together. You give a free will offering, a burnt offering, something you give up entirely. That's what burnt offering meant. It didn't mean you set sheep on fire. What good does that do? You really think that God wanted you to burn up sheep and then that pleased God? No. You gave sheep. You gave them up. This is why the Levites had lands in common. If you gave them sheep, if you gave them cattle, whatever you gave them, and they could take whatever you gave them and turn it into something else. They tell you that in the Bible. Well, what are you turning the ashes of sheep into? You're not turning that into anything. This was a social welfare system to bind the people together with love. And Christ says it all the time. When Christ says it, they translate it love. When Paul says it, they translate it charity. Same exact word. You have been fooled to believe a lie about religion, about what religion is. But anyway, Shapiro kind of figured it out, and he was telling people that this is how it works. But it has to be pure religion. That's all I'm saying. It has to be religion eventually. This is what you're striving for. This is what you're seeking, is a network of people that are providing all the social welfare for a community of people networking together all across the country, all around the world, based on faith, hope, and charity, not needing to apply to kings and rulers of the earth, because if you apply to them for any of these benefits, they serve deceitful meats, deceitful dainties. And if you apply to them with any appetite, soon you will go under their authority. And this is what we were talking about. Somebody was talking about homeschooling in South Africa. And long story short, they want to outlaw it. They have outlawed it in other countries. And they are certainly creating more and more restrictions to outlaw it in even America. And there's a large homeschool movement trying to prevent that. But the reality is they're already talking about homeschooling as a privilege, not as a right. So, of course, we immediately showed that all these governments have signed agreements. If you go to our page on free education and what free education is and is not, there's one of the headings is not so free. And you can go down to that section that says not so free. And this is at preparingyou.com, because we're preparing you for liberty under God. That's what we want to do. But you go down to not so free. And talks about the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto being public education. Because that's where they've been taking. You know, before the beginning of the 1900s, around 1910, most children were not educated in public schools. And most public schools were funded mostly by private donations. Did you know that? Most public schools were funded by private donation. Now, today, most of the money that is coming into public schools is coming in from the government, and much of that is the federal government. And so they get to dictate to you what you will learn. If you go to that page, there's an interesting article and some videos with, her father's name is William Bear. There's a long video of them and then a short one with Marina Bear. And the bullying of the modern school system to corrupt your children, and they tried to stand against that and had a heck of a time. But they don't understand that by sending your kids to public education, you're actually violating the principles of God. Your conscience should tell you this, that why should your neighbor be forced by the government to pay for your child's education? Because it's going to cost $20,000 to $25,000 a year for each child you have in school. Mr. Bear has two children in the school. That's $50,000 a year it's going to cost. He's not paying that much in taxes, at least not for school taxes. He should not be sending his kids to those public educational systems, and every one of you should not be sending your kids to. You say, well, they're going to take the money. We ought to take the benefit. No. Forgive them for taking the money. They're not taking the money to pay for your education or your child's education. They're taking the money to pay the interest on the debt. They borrow the money for your children's education. That's the way the governments operate. They operate on borrowed money. But the interest rate is getting so high, they have to collect all these taxes to pay that interest rate. And it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse, and they tell you it's getting worse and worse and worse. You hear it in the news all the time, raising the debt ceiling. You're cursing your children with that debt. If you would turn around and do it the way God said to do it, teach your children yourself, gather together in groups so that you could maybe start some private schools, you could get some private tutoring. $25,000 a year per student. That's what they're spending. Well, $30,000 a year should hire you a pretty dang good tutor. And you could do that with just a couple of kids. And that tutor could handle 4 or 5 kids. And if they're not full-time and they're just helping you teach your kids, you could get 100 families together, hire one homeschool tutor to go around and help everybody out. Show them what these teachers are doing, what those teachers are doing, what these parents are doing, what those parents are doing. Help you shift around school books, everything. Who should that be? That should be your minister. He should be ministering to you. No, he's interested in making a sermon that's going to make you feel good on the weekend. He's not actually ministering to your family, making your family stronger, more intelligent, more successful, healthier. We've seen a lot of stuff to do with health lately. They're just absolutely physically being devastated by their diets, and nobody's showing them why that is the case. You don't have to go get gym membership or anything. But there's a lot of things you can do to be a healthier family. Your minister should be bringing that information to you. And there's a lot of different ways to do it. They're not going to say, everybody's got to do this. We all have to start juicing. We all have to start having protein shakes in the morning. Some families will do the protein shakes. Some families will do other things. Everybody gets to try their own thing. And when it's not working, the minister will say, you guys are having this trouble. This family's not having this trouble. Maybe it's your diet. Maybe it's your lack of exercise. Maybe it's the air you're breathing. Maybe it's, it could be all kinds of things. He should be interested in your welfare. And you'd be amazed. I've seen people were supposed to get $1,000 operations. And I saw some people went and got the operations, like gallbladder operations, almost died. We can show you how to get rid of gallbladder stones without an operation. Costs you nothing. It takes a weekend. It's done. No big recovery. Side effects. You got rid of kidney stones at the same time. I know all kinds of people who've done it. I've done it myself. Easy to do. Costs you nothing. We've already got the information up at Preparing You. And we will share it with you for free. Because we love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, there's a lot of other things like family wills, deeds, and testates. How do you set those up? You should be going to church and they helping you with that. And you know, like I said, Crowder needed a lawyer. He went to a buddy who was a lawyer. And now that buddy is the most listened to conservative talk show guy in the United States. Now, I think he's wrong about some things because I don't think the solution is in government. He knows that. He says government does everything bad. But I'm not trying to get rid of the government. He's not trying to get rid of the government. He's trying to get rid of your need to depend upon government. If you were practicing pure religion, 90% of your need for government would almost disappear overnight. Except for you can't get to the point where you're practicing pure religion overnight. You don't know how to do it. Your ministers don't know how to do it. Because they've got this other lie that they have believed. And you have to change that. So that's one of the things that we're talking about today. There's a couple other things we're going to talk about. But Shapiro and pure religion, that's really important to understand. South Africa, they're talking about outlawing homeschool. And hopefully by next year, according to their teachings, we think that homeschooling is a fundamental right. The United Nations actually writes, and we shared that with people this morning, and it's shared on that same page on free education, Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which many of these countries are signers of. And Article 26 says parents have a prior right to choose the kind of education that shall be given to their children. Quote, unquote. That's right out of the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. If your country has signed that, which most countries have, you have a prior right. Does that mean you still have that right? No, it doesn't mean that. Because you can waive that right. You can cunningly be coerced into waiving that right. You have a right to travel. You have waived that right in a number of ways. You have a right to marry without the state. But you've waived that right time and time again. And the main reason you've done this is you've been calling the state your father because you've been looking to the state to provide you with benefits you should be getting from your family and from a free assembly of families called a congregation of people. The Jews call it synagogue, but we translate that into congregation because it's an assembly. The church is not that assembly. The church is an ecclesia, different word. The church is a called out group, just like the Levites were called out. To be the stones of that altar, you have to look out amongst yourselves and pick the stone of that altar that you trust, the minister you trust, to do what? To tickle your ears on Saturday or Sunday? To tell you that you're saved because you jumped through this hoop and jumped through that hoop? No. To provide the services of the government of God through free will offerings, through that love that Christ kept talking about and John the Baptist talked about and Paul talked about and Peter talked about. Certainly not through the covetous practices of social welfare systems that are created by Nimrod and Cain and Pharaoh and Caesar that you now depend upon because you don't actually practice pure religion. Your religion is spotted by the world because you're not doing this. Now, Christ knew you couldn't do this all at once. That's why he didn't say jump into the kingdom. He said seek the kingdom. And how do you seek the kingdom? Networking together, like Shapiro says, like Christ says, like the Bible tells you, not forsaking the gathering together. He made everybody sit down, and, you know, at the Sermon on the Mount and everything to... Actually, the word has to do with organize yourselves into what? The tens, hundreds, fifties, thousands? Yeah, which is what they did every Pentecost and every Feast of Tabernacle. They organized themselves so that they could take care of the needy. I had people thinking that they're keeping the Feast of the Tabernacle, and they think that they don't have to give anything to the church except for produce like sheep and grain and things like that. Farm products, because that's all the Bible calls for, and they weren't farmers, so they didn't have to give anything. And they thought that they were actually celebrating tabernacles, Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Booths, where it says you were not to leave the Levites empty-handed after you get together. Feast of Booths was like a giant fair, like a, you know, and people were bringing goods from all over the country and trading goods of value. Yeah, bringing oils and everything else. And everybody was going home loaded down with stuff. They came there loaded down with stuff. And they went home loaded down with different stuff. And they shared what they had with the Levites who were all over the country and providing that social welfare net. So that when enemies attacked or anything, you already had a network. And that network organized itself by these free assemblies based on charity, based on love for one another, where you gave in hope that it would come back, no entitlements. But it bound you together by honor and that love and that charity. This is what made society strong. This is what kept the men at the Alamo together. It's what kept the people together whenever they were facing this overwhelming enemy. And they stood against it because of that loyalty that comes from the fact that they cared about one another. Now, you know, if you want to talk about the 300 and Spartans, they cared about one another, but they didn't care about the other 80% of the people who lived in their country who they oppressed as a bunch of Nazis. So that's not really what you want, but you want this character where these people have this spiritual understanding of the law. They're not going around trying to follow some rote rules and regulations. Somebody sent me a thing on the Sabbath. Sabbath is not about a day. It's about a way. It's about working first and earning your rest. It's about working 6 days and then taking your rest. What most people are doing today is they take their rest and then they have to work the next 6 days. What do I mean by that? They borrow against the future. Every time you take those benefits from a government that's already in debt, you curse your children with more debt. Now, I can't say stop taking the benefits. A lot of you would starve. But I'm saying with every waking hour, you should be seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the kingdom of God and his righteousness operates by faith, hope, and charity in that perfect law of liberty. It's people gathering together not for what they can get, but for what they can give and share and sacrifice for one another. Because they're coming in the name of Christ who came to serve, to wash feet, not to rule over you. So how does that work? Now, we know how the governments of the world work. They work top down. And we know that Israel was organized bottom up in the tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands. But then when they elected Saul, which was a rejection of God, they elected Saul to be the commander in chief of their military to protect them and fight their battles for them. And then they gave him more and more power over a period of time. But when they did that, that was because they had already rejected God, that he should not reign over them. How did God reign over them? In the hearts and minds of the people, because they were constantly gathering together and putting free will offerings, that's what it says, free will offerings on these altars of stone. As long as you don't understand that the same exact word for a gathering of stones is a gathering of friends, you're not going to understand how these altars fit together, unhewn, unregulated. You're not controlling them. You're not manipulating them. They are put into place because they are men of service. They have the character of Christ, the character of Abraham, the character of Moses. They come to lay down their lives to help other people, and they are given the power to do so by the people. The people do not give them the power to force the contributions of the people, exercise authority one over the other. They empower them by giving them a free contribution and saying, you do good with this. And if they do good with it, you give them some more. Now, the people who don't want to ever give and are selfish and want to go drinking and have drugs, they're out. You don't have to worry about them. You can help them if they show some sign of repentance, but they can go to the world. Now, what I was going to talk about, and I said I was going to talk about this, is ICSs, Incident Command Systems. It is a standardized approach to command control, coordination of emergency response, providing a common hierarchy within which responders from multiple agencies can be effective. Effective. So what did Israel do? Because they didn't have a hierarchy. They had no king, top-down king at first. They were winning all their battles. How did they even go into battles? They have no no emperor, imperator, commander-in-chief. That's what the word means. They have no top-down authority, but yet they could defeat every foe that came after them. And they were a viable force against evil in the world. And everybody wanted to be their neighbor because they wouldn't attack you. And if anybody attacked you, they were there ready to help you and defend you because they cared about their neighbor as much as they cared about themselves. So how does this all work? How does the tens, hundreds, and thousands work? We have a whole article up on tens, hundreds of thousands, probably several audios there now. I may even put this one there. But how does it work, this incident command system? I mean, they use it on highways. They use it in FEMA. They use it in the military. They use it everywhere. And so I downloaded a brief synopsis of that. And I went through and I changed the word command to the word service. And I'll bet you there's some other words that we have to change. But we're going to go through that in the next part of the show. But I thought I would just give you a heads up on what we're thinking. And then we'll see if, you know, how would you organize these people? How would you organize yourselves? I mean, you don't know how to do it. You don't know how to be a free people. It's just not in us to figure this stuff out anymore. And I don't know if we have the time to do it. But some people are starting to wake up. And I tell you, the more people that wake up and start seeking this alternate form of self-government, and you can do that right now. You don't have to get out of the system or anything. You can't even anyway. But you can start learning these ways, gathering together in ways that where this starts working. And when you do that, you will have your eyes open more. And the ways that things work will open more. And you will become more proficient at being that people that don't exercise authority one over the other, but operate by faith, hope, and charity and that perfect law of liberty. But anyway, we'll be right back after this break. Okay, well, welcome back. I also want to announce that we're available on Tuesday nights. We have a study call, and people can raise their hand and ask questions. And we would change this call over to accepting calls, because we can do that. I'm looking at the switchboard now. I can see who's called in, except all I see is a phone number. And I'm not going to just tap on a phone number and ask them a question or turn on their live mic, but I will do it if I know who it is. And the only way I'm going to know who it is that you join the network, give me your phone number in advance, and then, you know, I could actually get other people on here to watch the switchboard and everything and check you in and all that stuff. But we're very efficient with manpower here. I don't want to, you know, I have somebody on the morning programs, but I don't want to take up their day for this afternoon program, but if you want to ask questions, join the network. Let us get to know you. And when I recognize your phone number by at least the last four digits, I can pick you if you raise your hand here on this show and we'll ask you questions. Right now, you'll have to, the only way you're going to be able to do that until we get this system going is to ask on the study call. Right now we're going through the Free Church Report. A lot of fascinating articles. We've got over 20 hours already done. And you can listen to all those audios that we've already done. It will only cost you $500. No, actually it won't cost you $500. It only costs you $300. Oh, no, actually, it won't cost you $300. Oh, that's right. We put them all up for free. You can read the book for free. And you read all the other books for free. We don't charge you anything for any of those things. And we even do counseling. We have people traveling around who will come and visit you and explain things and help you understand. And all the benefits you get when you join in with a congregation, become one of those free assemblers in a free assembly in a congregation of record, you can rely on them for help and assistance. And that's religion. That's pure religion. It's only pure when we get to the point where you just don't need anybody else but your network. Because everybody in your network cares about you, and you care about everybody in your network, and your ministers actually know what to do and what the jobs to do, and they solve problems on a day-to-day basis, like health problems, health issues. There are so many. Over the years, I've already spent, over a half a century doing this, and there's a lot of information we could share, and I can't share it all in one program, and I wouldn't share it all on a program, but we will share it in person, and we will send people actually there to help you if that's what's needed. But you have to start caring about others, and then the miraculous things start happening, because God will start caring about, because he's not hearing your voice now. He said, you go look to the benefactors who exercise authority, you go to the kings who serve you deceitful meats, you go to the guys with the covetous practices that make you merchandise and curse your children. I will not hear you in that day when you cry out. He says this more than one place in the Bible. I will not hear you. You want to get heard? You want your prayers heard? You want to see the miracles? You have to stop being slothful. Stop being covetous. Start coming together in the name of Christ. And then Christ will hear you. Evil doesn't want you to understand how the system works. But we want to tell you all the time how the system works. How does the system work? Well, the systems of the world, they work with this incident command system, top-down authority. They appoint, it tells you a big long quote in there about appoint men over 10s and men over 50s. This is what Saul's doing. This is what First Samuel 8 is telling you. This is what he's going to do. He's going to point these men from the top down. They're going to take and take and take and take and take and take and take. And then you're going to cry out and he's not going to hear you. So you can go read it for yourself. One of the systems they use is this ICSs. And it's very clever and it's a very good idea. But it's just a perversion of what Abraham and Moses were already teaching. Abraham was able to muster an army overnight because of his altars. These people were all loyal to just suddenly drop everything they do and take their weapons and go off and fight a big army because they burned up sheep together. And this created a bond somehow. Are you totally delusional? A lot of people talk to me about a lot of the millennials and even some of the Antifa and some of these people that are all against the conservatives. And I'm not for all the conservatives because I know that most conservatives are way left of center. We just don't see the real contrast. But amongst the conservatives, you'll find a lot of people that actually are willing to look at facts, willing to put those facts together and come up with some conclusions, like Shapiro. Although he hasn't come up with all the conclusions yet, he's probably one of the closest guys out there in major media. Even Glenn Beck comes up with a lot of these same kind of solutions, although I see him fooled by a lot of things as well. And we're not supposed to be following Glenn Beck or Shapiro or Donald Trump or Bernie Sanders or any of these people. We're supposed to be following the Holy Spirit. But they see that government is not the answer. And that's true. But a lot of these other people who still think, we should all be communists and then everything would be solved, or all socialists and everything would be solved, they have trouble just putting facts together. They have trouble with just basic reasoning. They have just a mind block. They can't even begin to, and a lot of the conservatives are just absolutely frustrated. You can't see this? Why can't you see this? But the question they should be asking, the conservatives should be asking, and the libertarians should be asking, which is one of the things that Shapiro brought up, is what don't you see? What are you missing? If they can miss so much that you clearly see, is there anything that you're missing that you don't clearly see? Well, there is. And that's the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because some of you are getting closer to it. Some of you are starting to understand that you need a network with the same moral values actually out helping one another. So, I mean, Shapiro is saying that along with a lot of other people. But we still have people thinking that religion is what you think about God, because that's the way it's defined today, even though 200 years ago it's what you did. When Christ was talking about it, he says, not what you say. It's what you do. It's not even what you think. It's what you do. See, real faith compels action. And if you don't see the action, this is what James is talking about. Well, you know them by their works. And they also say this in Revelation. I mean, it's all over the place. Even Paul says you'll be judged according to your works. So what they're saying is that you tell me you believe, but I don't see the works. What are those works? It's a government of the people, for the people, and by the people that is actually taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity and that perfect law of liberty. That's it. So we need not an incident command system, but an incident service system. And actually, we could even use the command service system, because there is a hierarchy in the church. It's just not a hierarchy over people. That's right. It's a hierarchy over stuff that the people give. Someone gives something to a minister that they have chosen, and he goes out and tries to help. He could take some of what he gives and give to his minister, and that minister can use it to help the other ministers he serves. And he could get into a congregation of ministers, and he could give some to his minister. It's a trickle-up system. And then when there's really a need way over here, we can send not only people, but aid and help and assistance. And we're looking for people who will take the time to come to such a system and make that system work. And as I talked about this morning, because they are willing to pick up their cross and endure to the end. Because you're not saved, according to Christ, unless you endure to the end. I know they're telling you you're saved because you said some words. But that's not what Christ, that's not what Paul really says. It's not really what Christ says. You got to take Paul out of the context of Paul to come up to that conclusion. And we can show you that and have. So anyway, in this incident command system, it goes on and talks about the establishment and transfer of command. But we would say the transfer of service. But it is command. Command not over people, but over the stuff. So I only have power over what people choose to give me. I don't have power over what you give somebody else. I can't force other ministers to give to me. They have to choose to do it. If I don't do a good job, they shouldn't give to me. They should only give to me according to my service. So that's why I changed the word command to service. It says the service function must be clearly established from the beginning of an incident. When service is transferred, the process must include briefing that captures all essential information for continuing safe and effective operations. So what is this system of tens? It's the buddy system times 10. 10 people pick a single minister. That minister gets together with 9 other ministers. They pick a minister, and you create this network. And that, they didn't use the word network in the Bible, but they describe a network. We have this word network. But they're describing the kingdom of God. Now, that kingdom of God passes from generation to generation. It doesn't exercise authority one over the other. It's from the bottom up. But if you're a minister and you're ministering a congregation, if something happens, you have a responsibility to the people you serve through Christ, and you have a responsibility to the rest of the network, which is the kingdom of God. And so you're trying to keep them connected. If you have to step down, you want to make sure that somebody else is in that place. You have to have a means by which to do that without exercising authority over anybody. This is why there was at least two feasts a year. Tabernacles, which is Feast of Tents, Feast of Booths, Sukkot, and the other one is the Feast of Pentecost. These were the big organizing feasts where you got together and helped one another and organized yourselves from that bottom up. And that, of course, is why when the apostles came out at Pentecost and they were baptizing people by the thousands, they had to organize them because they're going to have to take over the entire social welfare of these people getting baptized, because they're all kicked out of the synagogues. They're all kicked out of the congregations under the temple. They're not going to receive any more benefits from the Pharisees. And we see them afraid of this in John, that they would be cast out. And that's what was happening to everybody who got that baptism. So they had to organize themselves to take care of that. And right away, we see them working daily in the temple to rightly divide the bread from house to house for the needy, for those widows and orphans and needy of their society and their affliction. And then we see them having trouble with the guys over in Greece, saying the Greeks are getting neglected. We have to do something about them. Well, that means the international transference of funds and supplies all the way over to Greece to help them out. Maybe in Galatia, maybe in Corinth, wherever. And we see that where Paul's taking funds from Galatia to Corinth and other places. Why? Because they're practicing pure religion. They're actually taking care of one another. You're so far away from that, you can't even see pure religion when it stares you in the face. Well, you need this. You need to establish a system where you can do that. And they already tell you how to do it. They tell you how to do it in the Bible, but you just miss that because you're so full of yourself and what you think about God. The second thing is chain of service, which was command, and I changed it to service, and unity of service, which is unity of command. The chain of service command refers to the orderly line of authority within the ranks of the incident management organization. Unity of service means that every individual has a designated supervisor to whom he or she reports at the scene of an incident. Well, our supervisor is the Holy Spirit, but in the physical reality, when you have this system of this buddy system times 10, you got to know who is your connection. You know, where is he? We had the buddy system once when I was in school and they took us to the zoo. I got separated and the guy who was supposed to be my buddy didn't pay attention to where I was. He could care less. He was just running around. I couldn't find him again. And nobody even knew I was missing the whole day. I finally got linked up at the end of the day. And nobody even knew. Nobody went looking for me. I could have been off in some white slaver's van and they would have never known. But the kingdom of God doesn't work that way. It's about responsibility. This orderly line of not authority, that is another word I could change, but responsibility. Who's responsible for who? Are we leaving somebody behind? Are we forgetting somebody? Have we neglected somebody? Are we neglecting the Greeks? Well, they knew they were neglecting the Greeks because of the fact they had a network of communication that could come in with that answer. And they created another system, which they had in the Old Testament, composed of seven men, something you should have today. You don't even know what it looks like. You don't even know how it operates. We do. We tell people. That's what the study call is all about, showing you how these works. That's what the ministers should be working on. But you have to actually try to organize yourselves from the bottom up. You have to pick your ministers. We're not going to appoint guys to you. We're not going to chase you around like a bunch of Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons. You have to organize yourselves. You have to invest your time, your energy into organizing yourselves so that you can create this alternative that Christ told you about, that he wants you to create. He's already established it, but you've got to do your part. A unified service, it talks about, which is unified command, but again, unified responsibility. In the incident involving multiple jurisdictions, in other words, multiple congregations, you know, whole nation being invaded. How do you organize yourselves? How do you march across the country? How when they fled Jerusalem because it was being destroyed by Titus, how did they organize themselves and travel without being set upon by thieves and robbers and people starving? I've seen people leaving Bosnia, and they don't even have their shoes. The enemy took their shoes, so they're barefooted with children. People are freezing at night, and they're hungry. They don't know how to do this. They don't know how to unify themselves in service to one another. And so people are actually dying along the roads. You need to start learning this now. You need to have the multiple jurisdictions in the kingdom of the multiple families. You need to how to care about the next family as much as you care about your own. So start organizing yourselves now through faith, hope, and charity in that perfect law of liberty. It talks about management objectives. Well, our objective is that you might live, that you might grow closer to the kingdom, closer to Christ, closer to the righteousness of God. They say includes establishing an overarching objectives, develop strategies based on incidents and objects. Okay, you suddenly have to leave Detroit or Louisiana or Poughkeepsie or Pennsylvania because things are getting so bad there, people are dying. Where are you going to go? You go to North Dakota, you go to Kansas, you go to his church at Wichita. What are you going to do? Where can you go? We have a radio system. Guys are starting to learn that, but we're so small. We're small because you're still sitting on your couch. You're not gathering together. You don't see the value of this. All it is about love. So we can start, we can talk about big disasters, but what about if they outlaw homeschooling? What about if they start just gathering people into work projects on the street? They can do that. And we've shown you where it says in the law, they can just pick you up off the street and put you to work in government work projects. That you don't have access to your inalienable rights. Your parents and you have squandered them all away because you sat and ate with rulers with great appetite, got free education. They took care of your parents. They're taking care of your children. They're taking care of your Medicare or Medicaid. And it's cost you the human integrity, those values that Shapiro is talking about. Now, we're not going to get there overnight. We have to start moving in that direction now. So you want to go at Preparing You or HisHolyChurch.org. Find the network links and join the network. Now you're on an email group. You haven't found the kingdom. You found somebody who can tell you more about the roadmap. You haven't gone anywhere. Now you have to form congregations of record, which are free assemblies. They're not unincorporated associations. They're not incorporated associations. They're free assemblies. You're there. You get to know these people. The bonds that hold you are love. And some of these people are not going to be as nice as they really should be. They have growing to do. You may not be as nice as you really should be either. But you come together to learn what it means to care about other people and for other people by the sacrifice of the people. This is what the kingdom of God is all about. This it goes on about in this services allows agencies with different legal, graphic, and functional authorities. Of course, now they're all talking about authorities. We'll say functional responsibilities. And they go on to say, and responsibilities to work together effectively without affecting individual agencies or their responsibilities or accountability. So you have to learn how to work together. You know, like the sign says, does not work well with children. Well, we're all children of God. Do we work well together? You can find people bickering, people picking up their toys and leaving and saying, oh, we don't want to have anything to do with this anymore because we didn't get our way. Somebody disagreed with us. Somebody had the audacity of disagreeing with you. So you take your hand off the plow and go away. You abandon everybody in the network. What is that? If that's what you judge to be right, expect to be abandoned by God. Because as you judge, so shall ye be judged. So they talk about modular organizations. Well, we already talked about tens, hundreds, and thousands. That's exactly. And we keep those, each of those modules, the 10 module concept, down to a minimum. You don't want a 500 man congregation. You want 10 families together. Now, those families may include the grandfather and his sons and daughters. And so there might be 100 people in one family. But the reality is that the minister's only dealing with the head of that family. And they're working together to learn about each other, learn what each other's need, learn about the needs of others and what's best to suit them. So you have every congregation is a board, but not a board of directors, a board of love, a board of caring, a board of responsibility. What's wrong with that? Why is that so hard to understand? People will say, oh, it's impossible. Well, you're going to need the impossible. You're going to need the impossible because you're not getting out of this any other way. You have to, this is the pearl of great value. This is the kingdom of God. And it goes from generation to generation. You may not be free in this generation, but your children could be free. Your grandchildren could be free. And they could deserve freedom. If you teach them the ways of the kingdom, which is not the ways of covetousness, not the ways of sloth, not the ways of wantonness, not the ways of me first, it's the way of caring, of loving, charity. You know, again, faith, hope, and charity in that perfect law of liberty. This is what you need. This manageable system of tens, hundreds, and thousands where you learn to love one another as God loves you. But until you actually go that way, I'll just have to say, peace on your house. And may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.